Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. It's so good to see everyone here tonight, everyone loving on one another. You know, it's just good to be in church, and it's good to see some new faces with us here tonight. You know, folks that are just hungry, you know, stretching themselves. We're not the old wine bottles, amen? We're the new wine bottles. You know, we're the ones that go out of our way for God, amen? Even if that means going to church twice in a week, right? Glory to God. Well, we're going to, of course, start with the word here tonight. For those of you that are just joining us for the first time for Wednesday night word and prayer, it's a little different than our Wednesday night services of the past. You know, what we're doing now is that we're taking the first half of the service. We're going to be preaching and teaching the word, followed by somewhere between 30 and 40 minutes of prayer. And we're going to teach on prayer here tonight, and we're going to just come before God. We're going to seek His face, you know, and if you put this many people together, which this is a really, you know, great turnout, you know, you put it together, this is the largest weekly prayer gathering right here in our region that I'm aware of. I've been scouring, I've been looking, I've been, you know, searching for anything else. So it's not that we're trying to pride ourselves on the amount of people, but I tell you what, you know, with how many people there are here tonight, let's just, you know, start saying this. Let's push it into getting 200 people here for prayer. We're not that far away from that now. Let's just go a little further. Imagine where 200 people are gathering on a weekly basis. We're going to just start saying that. Wednesday night, word and prayer, we will have 200 people praying and seeking God. You know, let's just let something great start right here. Amen. Praise the Lord. And yes, we're going to pray in English. Yes, you'll hear people praying in other tongues. We're going to teach, you know, along those lines here tonight. So don't let that spook you or anything like that. It'll refresh you. And that's where we were last week. So go ahead and turn with me in your Bibles to James chapter 5. And tonight I'm going to call this message Fervent Prayer. Fervent Prayer. And last week on Wednesday, I taught a message called Prayer is Refreshing. Prayer is refreshing. And we looked at several scriptures in the Word where, you know, the Bible tells us, you know, over there, 1 John 5:3, that the commandments of God or anything that God would instruct you to do is not grievous. All right, it's not wearisome to seek the Lord, but yet our minds are bombarded with thoughts all the time that we're too tired to pray, too busy to pray, you know, we need to, our rest in prayer is work or it's some kind of drudge. No, that's the enemy telling people that. Prayer is refreshing. There's no greater strength than that comes from the Lord. And never forget that all strength is spiritual in its cause. All strength. Listen, I'll tell you what, if long hair could give Samson in the Old Testament a little extra strength, I'd say praying in the Holy Ghost could help us in the New Testament. Amen. Glory to God. And so we took a look at that. And so many times people think, you know, they're trying to get their rest by not pursuing the things of God, but what they're really doing is that they're making themselves more tired by forsaking prayer in their life. Because we said this way, you know, we said this last week, that when you get into the presence of God, you know, when His presence gets on you, it'll make you more aerodynamic in life, so to speak. You know, it'll make you able to cut through resistance in this world just that much easier, all right? And a lot of times why people are so, you know, tired and frustrated is because they're using physical strength to try to make up for what they haven't done praying, all right? And it will wear you out a lot faster. Last week we talked about God's presence, and we said basically, and of course, you know, you could add more, but just real basically, you could say that there's two types of being in God's presence. One, there's being in God's presence in the legal sense. How many of you know as soon as you come before God and you say, Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, how many of you know, legally speaking, in the mind of God, you are in His presence? Whether you feel anything, whether you have goosebumps or not. You understand? Not that you have to have goosebumps to be in the presence of God. But you know what I mean? Sometimes, you know, people, they think that being in the presence of God automatically brings some kind of emotional response. But when you pray in the name of Jesus, legally speaking, God is aware of you. And you now have Him as your audience. All right, and that's, you know, being in God's presence in the legal sense. And we talked about that last week. But then there's another level of being in God's presence, and that's being in His presence in the personal sense. In the personal sense, all right? In the legal sense, God is aware of you. But in the personal sense, you become aware of Him. And you can, you know, be led, you can get directions, you can hear God's voice. You could, you know, see things with the eye of faith. You could see things in terms of just spiritually. You could have leadings, ideas about, you know, what tomorrow could bring. Of course, God isn't going to show you everything in the future all at once, but you understand, He will show us things to come, all right? And most Christians today are only praying in the legal sense. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to diminish legal sense. We need to understand what is legally ours in this covenant with God in the name of Jesus Christ, in the blood of Jesus Christ. But when we get over into the personal sense, when we become more aware of God's presence, amen, when He starts leading us and directing us, all right, that's when it gets rich, all right? All right, and so that's what we're here to seek. Also, you know, you can look over there at Revelation 1:10. John the Apostle said, "And I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard a voice behind me saying," and it ended up being the voice of Christ leading and directing. And so John was saying, I became more aware of the spiritual realm than my natural surroundings. He was in fellowship in a personal sense. All right, not just a legal sense. Amen. And this is where we really begin to benefit. This is where our ability to resist evil can be developed. Amen. It's not just a matter of legality. It's a matter of proximity. It's a matter of being close with the Father. Amen. Seeking Him. And so we talked about that. And now tonight we're going to preach for just a little bit on fervent prayer. And we really got to move because our time is going to get away from us. Go over to James chapter 5. I know you're there already. And we're going to start in verse 13. Here's our answers. Here's our help. Let's talk about how to pray fervently, because honestly, that's the only kind of prayer God really accepts. You know, is fervent prayer. Anyone can pray, all right, but not all Christians pray fervently. Oh, amen. All right, let's start in verse 13. And it says this, "Is any among you afflicted?" That means troubled. It says, "Let him pray." There's our answer. Praise the Lord. Afflictions in your life? Pray. Amen. And notice it says, "Let him pray." It didn't say, "Let somebody else pray." See, we can pray with you, but we can't pray for you, meaning instead of you. Amen. All right. And it says, let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Just like we can't do your singing for you, right? We can't do your praying for you. We can add our faith, all right, but it can't be instead of you. Listen, if you just pass your afflictions upon somebody else and rely on their faith, I'll tell you what, nothing's going to get done. Nothing's going to get done. If you're the one that's afflicted and troubled, you got to pray. Amen. All right, but that's not our point here tonight. Let's go to verse 14. It says, "Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." Boy, I tell you what. So the prayer of faith can get some things done. Amen. It will save the sick, the prayer of faith. And now verse 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another." That's if you wrong somebody. "Pray one for another." That's what we're here to do tonight. "That you may be healed." And again, I'm not going to get on too many rabbit trails. But notice when you pray for somebody else, it brings healing to you. Okay. All right. And so you see that in the word. Pray for one another that you may be healed. It didn't say pray that they would be healed. Of course, you can add your faith to somebody's physical healing or whatever. All right, but there's something, you know, when somebody is heartfelt and they bring their supply for somebody else. Folks, that's what Wednesday night word and prayer is about. We are not here to take time and pray for everyone's needs. Right? I'm not going to be calling anybody, up front unless the Spirit prompts me to pray for somebody's specific need. You're going to get your help the long way around, but it's the best way around, and that's learning on bringing your supply for somebody and something else. So many times Christians get in a rut of only praying for themselves. You know, they get selfish with their faith. They get selfish in their praying. You know, that's one of the pitfalls of trials and things, is it makes people very selfish. Or what I mean by that is they think only of themselves. They can't see past their own problems, all right? Start learning to be a supply for somebody else. That's what Wednesday Night Word and Prayer is about. We're coming together tonight to bring our supply. And tonight we're going to be praying for some different churches and such, but we're going to be praying for this community. We're going to be bringing our supply for the lost. I'm hungry to see more souls saved. I think there is a great lack in the body of Christ today about evangelism in local churches. It's almost like everybody's after everything else except for the winning of souls. What is all this about? It's about winning people to the kingdom of God. Whether it's miracles, whether it's prosperity, whether it's healing, it all should reflect back to winning souls. Amen. So we're going to be praying about that. We're not here to just say, you know, folks, when I say this, I don't mean this, you know, to be critical or to attack anybody. But, you know, church is not spiritual AA. Here's my name. Here's my problems. See, that's why there's so very little deliverance in that stuff. Because it's all about their problems. If you want to grow above your problems, start to seek something above your problems. You know what I mean? Start seeking God. Start seeking, you know, someone else's help. Amen. Anyway, and it says, the end of verse 16, it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Or, you know, the Amplified Version says it makes a lot of power available, dynamic in its working. Okay? And so notice this, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I'm not going to ask for a show of hands because sometimes people, don't understand it. But if you are born again in Jesus Christ, you are the righteous man. You are the righteous woman, right? You have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And so if you will learn to pray fervently, you and me and all of us together will make a lot of power available, dynamic in its working. Fervent prayer makes prayer that works, that changes something. Let's look at that term, effectual fervent prayer, because in the original language, it's all one word, all right? And I like this. It means to put forth power. I like that. You know, it means to put forth effort. Yes. It means heartfelt. It means active. Okay? And it means desirous, or literally to have great desires. When you pray, you are bringing your heartfelt desire to the throne, and you're there to approach the throne of grace boldly. Amen? According to Hebrews 4:14, that's how we approach the throne of God. But you know what? If we're not careful, we start to pray as, you know, every time we pray, a lot of Christians pray like it's saying grace at Thanksgiving dinner. And it's just routine. It's weak. There's no effort in it. There's no power in it. See, God is not looking for lazy prayers. He's looking for powerful prayers. Active. People that'll put forth effort. And it doesn't mean you're trying to be the loudest in the room. But the fact of the matter is, if you're not into it, why do you expect God to be into it? Amen. God is looking for people that will get into praying. Amen. People that will come to him with great desires. And let's not pray like we're saying grace at Thanksgiving. See, the Holy Ghost is given to us to help us be more fervent. And the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is that we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Ghost to bring God fervent prayers. Fervent prayers. All right, and if you're here tonight and you're unfamiliar with being filled with the Spirit, I'm going to teach on that briefly, all right? And so God was never looking for lazy, you know, prayers, inactive prayers, sleepy, bored, not interested prayers. Bring some desire. You know, bring, you know, when you pray, mean it. Put something into it. You know, there should be a little physical effort in there. You know what I mean? You know, with using your voice. You know, have you ever seen Orthodox Jews pray? Ever seen an Orthodox, you know, Jewish person? And of course, I'm not saying we mimic this exactly by any means, but have you ever seen them when they go and they pray at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem? I mean, and they read their prayers. Of course, we have heartfelt prayers. We don't have, and I'm not saying they're not heartfelt. You understand. I'm just saying we don't have prescribed, you know, pre-written prayers. You understand that. You know, but they'll bring their prayer booklet, and I mean, they sit there, and I mean, they read those prayers. Have you seen? I mean, they put some effort into that. All right, they speak those things fervently. I'm not saying you got to get the rocking motion going on, and I'm not criticizing that either. I'm just saying, you know, I'm not making the point that you have to do something that demonstrative with your body, but you should get into praying. And pray like you mean it and you've got desire. And pray like you belong there. Amen. See, what prayer is when the desires of men and the desires of God come together. All right? Because man brings his desires to God. See, when you're in God's presence, you know, personally, when it becomes, you know, a personal experience with him, he shares his desires with you. We pray, we say, Father, these are our desires. And he says, great, here's my desires. And it's good that you have your desires. God wants you to bring your desires. I have desires for my home. I have desires for my marriage. I have desires for my children. I have desires for my recreation. I have desires for my finances, right? Not selfish desires, right? But I'll tell you what, I have desires for this community. I have desires for this city. Amen. I have desires for your lives. Boy, do I ever. And that's what should motivate and drive a pastor. Amen. Yeah. I want, you know, more souls. I want this region. Glory to God. I want more power in the sanctuary. I want roaring praise and a church of soul winners. Praise the Lord. People that are excited about God. Not just some, you know, dirgy church service. Not going to have it. There's not going to be any dusty old-time religion around here. Now, when we say old-time, if you mean by getting back to the Word, of course, we mean that. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. But we should learn how to be fervent in our own known language, and we should also be fervent when we pray in the Holy Spirit. All right, go to Acts chapter 2. I'm going to give you a quick run-through of the New Testament. In case you're newer here at the church, or maybe you've never been taught this, or if you've allowed some things to go dormant in your prayer life, I want to show you that in the Bible, there is a way to increase the power in your praying. All right? It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And if the term tongues makes you cringe, good, then you know it's God. Because I've always said that's where God lives, right in that place where your flesh gets very uncomfortable. All right, go over to Acts chapter 2. Now, this is what happened on the day of Pentecost. I'm going to go through these things quickly because we're trying to leave as much time for prayer tonight as possible. But I want to draw some people in. I want to, you know, just, you know, bring you into another level where, you know, you start to seek God praying fervently in your known language, which is English, okay, you know, for Espanol, press numero uno, right? Right? You know, I'm taking it, most of us know English here tonight, and so we'll pray fervently in English, all right, but we also should know how to pray fervently in the Spirit, all right, and let's go to Acts chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is what happened on Pentecost, or you could say it this way. This became available to us 2,000 years ago and is still available on this earth. It says, when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there was 120 of them. Hey, maybe we have probably, I think we've got that beat here tonight. All right. So a group a little smaller than this, we could say. All right. It says, we're all in one accord in one place. That's what we're doing here tonight. Okay, so they were there for prayer. You understand? If you go back and read chapter 1, they were meeting for 10 days straight to pray together. 120 of them in a large upper room. And it says, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. It says, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon how many of them? Each of them. Not just the 12, there's 120 there. Okay? And verse 4 says exactly what happened when they got filled with the Spirit. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Okay, so we know this, tongues can't be of the devil, it must be from God. Okay, and then time does not permit tonight, but if you were to read the rest of chapter 2, they started, you know, speaking in tongues, and there was a great crowd that gathered around them, remember? Some could hear in their own foreign languages the wonderful works of God, remember that? Others just heard what we hear, which is unintelligible utterances, right? Meaning not understandable to the human mind. And that's when they said, oh, these men are drunk. They're filled with new wine. Yeah, they sure were, but not the kind they were thinking. And that's when Peter stands up and says, you men and brethren, know this, that this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying in the end days, you know, my spirit will be poured upon all flesh. My sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall see visions. Young men shall dream dreams. Or do I have that reversed? All right. And it goes to say, and on my servants and upon my handmaids, I will pour out of my spirit in those days, saith the Lord. Jesus told them that that day was coming. Jesus told us that that day is available. All right, the day of Pentecost. That's why we call ourselves a Pentecostal church. Because we believe that the Bible does not have an expiration date on it. We believe that being filled with the Spirit is a great benefit. All right. Praise the Lord. And remember what it said over there in the rest of chapter 2. It went on to say, it said, and some said, we do hear the wonderful works of God. Remember that? When those that could understand it, they relayed back to the others and say, we hear, even though some of you hear it in this gibberish, unintelligible language. We hear the declaration of the wonderful works of God. And so God interpreted that language in the ears of some that were sitting there to let them know, to tell everybody else that when you're praying or speaking in an unknown tongue, you are speaking the wonderful works of God, though your flesh and your mind do not understand it. Praise the Lord. Go over to Acts chapter 4. Go to verse 23. Hallelujah. And we're just going to move right through this. And by no means can we stop everywhere in the New Testament that talks about this. We wouldn't have any time to pray tonight. That's the purpose of what we're doing here. To gather together, to pray, to bring a supply for something or somebody else. We're not here, oh, here I am with my troubles. Listen, that doesn't mean we're trying to diminish if you're going through troubles. Listen, when you start to look beyond your troubles and pray for somebody or something else, all right? Remember what it says over there in Job 42 in verse 10? Remember how Job went through one of the worst personal experiences that anyone could ever go through on this earth? And finally, God turned his situation around. Remember, it was the devil that did it to him in the first place. And then at the end of the book, it says, and the Lord turned Job's captivity when he prayed for his friends. See, the answer to Job's great trouble wasn't like, here, I need to find, you know, someone to pray for me. It's God said, hey, pray for somebody else. That's right. He says, pray for one another that you may be healed. It's the same thing. Amen. Go to Acts 4:23, and we're going to read some verses here. And so now these 120, they are filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter stands up and preaches. He wins 3,000 souls to Christ. And so now there's thousands of these believers. Many of them get filled with the Spirit. Many of them have that same experience of speaking in other tongues. And now they're gathered together again, and it says in verse 23, it says, "And being let go," this was John and Peter, "John and Peter went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them." And remember how the Pharisees had threatened them? "Don't you dare preach in the name of Jesus anymore." In verse 24 it says, "And when they heard that," or when the gathered assembly of the church heard that, "they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, 'Lord, you are God, which have made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them.'" That is a great way to start a prayer. You'll hear around here when I pray from the pulpit, "You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are the creator of heaven and earth. There is no other God besides you." See, start your prayer with magnifying God. When you start talking to God in terms of his greatness, your trouble's going to shrink. Your problems are going to seem much smaller. Praise the Lord. Verse 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, 'Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against your holy child Jesus, whom you have anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever your hand and your counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings." See, they're praying this way. Now, a lot of people have asked, how in the world did all of these hundreds of people speak these words together in unison at the same time? Well, I'm going to lend my opinion to that, all right? Now, it doesn't. You can't prove this with a word. You can't disprove it. But I personally don't believe that every single one of them, they didn't have a leaflet to read together, all right? This scripture was not yet written. They didn't have the written New Testament like we do. You know, I believe it was a gathered group of people, and no doubt one of the apostles or a couple of them or whatever stood up and led that group in prayer, and they all lended their voices to it, much like we're going to be doing here tonight, where someone in church leadership will lead us. We lend our agreement to it. We lend our praise, all right? We lend our voices to it. Well, they might not have all have been saying the same words verbatim, okay? I've heard other preachers say, "Oh, no, they all did." I'm like, whoa. I'm not saying that God couldn't do that. You understand. But I think it's more reasonable to assume that they were being led by church leadership and they lended their voices in agreement to the prayer. And they say, "Now, Lord, behold their threatenings. Grant unto your servants that with all boldness they will speak your word by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child Jesus." All right? How many of you know that's a good way to pray? They just magnified God. They said, "We're not scared of anything." They said, if we have to put our lives at risk, we'll do it. When you stand before God and say, "I will do anything to be inconvenienced for you," and you mean it with your heart, the power of God's going to show up. But when people stand before God and they say these things and don't mean it and don't carry it out, then it's worthless before him. But look what happened in verse 31. "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." How many of you know this passage of Scripture does not include anybody speaking in other tongues? Notice they prayed fervently in their own known language and still got filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Say, well, why'd they get filled with the Holy Ghost again? This was a fresh filling. There is one initial filling, but there are ways to be refilled or refreshed. Amen. You know, being filled with the Spirit is not a one-time event. There's the initial filling, but there are many refillings. You understand? But notice they got fervent in their own known language first. We're going to do that here tonight. We're going to start, and that's a great way to pray at home. Start in your own known language. Exalt God. Worship Him. Tell Him how serious you are. Show Him how much you're willing to be inconvenienced. That's what we're doing, right? And I believe me, I think their inconveniences were far greater than our inconveniences. How easy is this? This is so easy to come to church. You know, what would we be doing? Watching TV, surfing the interwebs, you know, checking out someone else's status, looking at their pictures of their dinner. I can't stand that stuff. Here's what I'm eating today. You know, last time I talked about that, someone purposely, like that afternoon, it was after a Sunday morning, they sent me a picture of what they were having. I got a great kick out of it. I think that's fun. All right. I mean, I don't want that all the time. But so notice one, you can be fervent in your known language. All right, let's keep on going here. Praise the Lord. Go over to Acts chapter 19. Noticed that they received a fresh filling of the Spirit as they prayed boldly with desire. They started desiring miracles. They desired signs and wonders. They desired healings in their midst. They desired demonstrations in their midst. Listen, what has changed in the modern day church? Has God changed? No, He has not. So why has, you know, the miracles, why have the miracles seemed to have dried up in the New Testament? The miracles haven't dried up, is man's desires and man's fervency has dried up. If God will be able to find a group of people that will come fervently, who will really walk in that same character and desire, He will do the same things. We will see people in our midst dramatically healed, dramatically changed. I'm telling you, this is a great start. Let's go to that next level. Let's get 200 people in this place on Wednesdays. We're going to talk about that with the church on Sunday. Like, get here. Get here. Well, but I just came off a hard day at work. So did everybody in this room. You know, so did everybody. Yo, come on, but I didn't feel like it. I was tired. That's when your praying is going to make the most difference. You know, and I'm not talking about if you happen to be on vacation or something, you know, just come on back when you're, you know, when it's time, when you're getting home, and when the next Wednesday night shows up, be here. Go to Acts 19. Well, praise the Lord. Oh, man, look at the time. Where does it go? Acts 19. Because we really want to reserve at least a half hour praying. And let's face it, it's not going to be the biggest deal in the world if we go to 8:05. All right. Go over to Acts 19, verse 1. We got to just get to at least a couple more verses. Praise the Lord. See, they prayed for an outpouring on the cities around them. It was after they prayed like that that they went in the streets and people got healed being in the shadow of Peter. And it wasn't just because Peter was an apostle. It's because he was in the environment like that. Amen. Acts 19, look at verse 1. It says, and it came to pass, and of course, we skipped over a lot of chapters there. I was going to go to chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10 of the book of Acts to show you more examples of this same thing. But I'm just going straight to the smoking gun, all right? Acts 19, 1, it says, and it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples. And if you think somebody's a disciple, you think they're a believer, right? So Paul is under this idea that he's running into fellow Christians. And look at the first thing that Paul says to them in verse 2. Paul said to them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Isn't that question just amazing? It is filled with so much doctrine because Paul, the author of more than half of the New Testament, is now the one saying that. So he's assuming they're believers because he asked them, "Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Here was the way that my denominational churches presented the Holy Spirit when I was growing up. They presented the idea that when you got born again, you got all the Holy Spirit you're ever going to get. All right? Well, clearly that cannot be true, because Paul, who's quoted in the Bible, you know, the author by the Holy Ghost of more than half of the New Testament, says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? So there must be a time when we become believers and another time when we receive the Holy Ghost. Of course, when someone gets born again, that the Bible calls it the new birth, is being born of the Spirit. But there is a another experience after salvation called the filling of the Spirit or the baptism of the Spirit, okay? And Paul says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Because notice it must have been a priority for Paul that when he found new believers, he said, that's great that you're saved. That's great that you've received Jesus, but now you need to be filled. Because there's these two experiences in God, and you got to have them both. Salvation first, the filling of the Spirit second. If you're born again, that's great, but now we need to get you filled. All right? And so it goes on to say, and they said unto him, we have not so much as heard that whether there be any Holy Ghost. And that's why I always say, and I don't mean it viciously, but I say it sounds like some churches I went to. We didn't even ever hear that there was such thing as the Holy Ghost. Well, you better learn. And then so John or Paul says, and he said to them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, John's baptism or John the Baptist. So they weren't even aware that Christ had come. They had heard John's ministry, but had never received Christ. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's water baptism. So they heard about Christ, and they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and then they were water baptized. But notice Paul wasn't going to let that be the end of the story. Look at verse 6. It says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. All right? Do you know that in the New Testament, there are more specific examples of people being baptized with the Spirit than there are water baptism? Now, there's a lot of general mentions of water baptism, but in specific cases where just a few individuals are named or mentioned. And in every single one of them, when someone gets baptized with the Holy Spirit, they speak in other tongues. All right. And so, just like in every time in the Bible, when somebody gets water baptized, they get wet, right? They're going underwater. They're coming back out of the water. So why would we expect any different result in the days that we live in? We understand that water baptism includes water. We understand that the Spirit baptism includes the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And so let me just ask that question, because it's the Bible's question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? The Spirit of God is given to us to make prayer more fervent. Because if you go to God lazy, if you go to God bored, if you go to God just listening to your flesh, I'm telling you, it's not going to do much for you. All right? How many of you know the Bible says that God loves a cheerful, prompt-to-do-it giver whose heart is in his giving? God wants an energized giver. Doesn't he also want a prompt-to-do-it prayer? Someone who prays, someone that praises, someone that attends church. God is not moved with laziness. All right? Because we understand if we're going to have fervent prayer, there's going to be some action. All right? There's going to be some action. Praise the Lord. Well, that is as far as I'm going to go. And I tell you, it takes great discipline even to do that much. Glory to God. All right. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to, folks, is it all right? We're just going to forego that 5 minutes. Usually we take just a few moments. I know, hold up on the offering too. This is what we need to do. If you're here tonight and you've never been filled with the Holy Spirit and you've never spoken with other tongues, Before we go into prayer, I want to give that invitation. All right? Let's all go ahead. Let's stand to our feet. Let's just take a moment to worship God. Father God, we just worship you and we praise you. Father, we see that there are two separate experiences. Father, we know that the Holy Ghost came to help usher us into your personal presence. Father, and not just allow us to pray just in a legal sense. Father, we just praise you and worship you. We glorify you. Praise the Lord. Now, of course, eyes can be open. We're all looking up here. If you're here tonight and you've never been filled with the Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, but you would like to be, you know, just take a moment. Come on down right now. Reverend Tony, if you wouldn't mind jumping on the keyboard for us, that would be great. If there's anybody here that you've never been filled with the Spirit, but you would like to, because we're going to jump into prayer, and that would be a great time to practice that. Praise the Lord, brother. Come on forward. If there's anybody else, hallelujah. Father, we just praise you tonight. We glorify you. Yeah, we got some others. It's so good to see everybody. Amen. This is just a great night for everybody that's coming up. Father, we just love you and praise you. All right, for you folks that are forward here, let me just give you some basic instructions. When I come to you, I'm going to lay my hands on you. One of the greatest misunderstandings when it comes to speaking in other tongues is that people have this idea that God's going to, you know, force something out of your mouth. But that's actually not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says over there, 1 Corinthians 14:15, Paul says, "What shall I do then?" He said, "I will pray with my natural language, or I will pray with the Spirit." Notice who does the speaking. We do, all right? God does not force anything on you. And so when I lay my hands on you to receive the Holy Ghost, that will be your opportunity to start speaking. And of course, I'll speak with you. You don't have to sound just like me or anything like that. But just remember, it is an action of faith. And it does take a level of stepping out and vocalizing what God's going to put on the inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so what we're going to do is we're going to pray a prayer to receive the Holy Ghost. And then I will come to each and every one of you individually and I will lay my hands on you. But let's all just join our faith with these individuals. Let's just bow our heads, close our eyes. Father God, we just worship you and praise you. You are so good. And Lord, we thank you that tonight as we lay hands in the name of Jesus, that Father, that these individuals will be filled with the Holy Ghost. And Lord, just like we know water baptism, Father, we know what to expect. In the same way, we know what to expect when someone gets baptized in the Holy Ghost, other tongues. And Father, you are faithful and good. And now those of you up front, just go ahead and pray this prayer with me. Say, "Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that the Holy Ghost is a gift for me. And I believe that as hands are laid on me, I will be filled with the Holy Spirit and I will speak with other tongues as the Spirit gives me utterance. Thank you, Father. I receive in Jesus' name." Father, we just thank you. We just praise you. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sopra pasha capra paso soco brapa sheke. Oh, daraba. You got it, brother. Absolutely. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sopra pasha capra bate seke breke steke bre. That's exactly it right there. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sopra pasha capra bato soco mramba dese. Oh, just go ahead and speak right out. Just remember, folks, we're not going to. There you go. That's absolutely it. So we just got to be bold and we can't wait for a feeling. There is no feeling with it. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sapra pasha capra bate seke breke steke breke dishte ke prabande seke. That's it, honey. There you go. Keep going. Everybody, keep on speaking. Boso cobra. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sapra kasha capra bato soko bran. There it is, brother. Brasa. There you go. Brasa hamma basha cobra. Oso dora mande seke brepa dasha capra bande seke. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Brasaka prabaso cobra.
There you go, sweetie. Brapasaka, speak that right out. There you go. Brapasoko brapa de, yes. Brakashtaka braha. They say, okay, you got it. Keep going, keep going, keep going. So good. In Jesus' name, be filled with the Holy Ghost. Sapakasha capra basso combra mande seke brasto. Oh, socobra. There you go, bud. Just go ahead, speak that right out. Oh, socobra. There you go. Proco socobra cadasa. Apra bande seke. There you go. Absolutely. Absolutely. Just go ahead and just speak for a moment. Everyone that just got filled, just go ahead and speak. There you go. Hadala badishti kimra basso coho dasa caraba. Ese que prabato soco mrambandisi. O socopra pate sike breki dishti. O socombra mbande sike. O tabaka staka breki dishti. Geman baho sabregi dishti ki bregishti. O socombra maha da sabre. O socopra pate sike breki shtiki. Prabano socomando socote. A telebano soconda na mande sike prebadasa. O to soko brabande siki ki prabano so bagasta. Yes, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. All right, you folks can go ahead and go back to your seats. Well, let's just continue right into prayer. Praise the Lord. We'll take up the offering later or do something with that. It just doesn't seem like that's the right time to do that right now. Let's just go ahead and jump into prayer. What I'm going to do is I'm going to lead us out, and I'm going to begin with praying in English. Just grab a hold with your voices, with your agreement, and let's pray like the early church prayed. Amen. Praise God. Father God, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Father, we approach you. We praise you. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus tonight. Father, we understand that we are heard in that name. Father, you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are faithful to covenant. Father, you are faithful to 1,000 generations. And Lord, you never forsake us. You never leave us. Father, you have provided all good things. You have fed us every day of our lives. Father, we have never gone without. Father, we never will go without. Angels go before us. No evil befall us. No plague near our dwelling. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Father, you are a sun and a shield. Grace and glory shall you give. You withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. Father, we praise you. You satisfy us with long life. You show us your salvation daily. Father, you deliver us from sickness and disease. We are the healed of the Lord. Father, you take us above and beyond any crisis, any trouble that we fall into. Father, you are so faithful and good. And Father God, we have come before you tonight, Father, to pray for the churches. Father, we have come here to pray for this community, this region, this city. Father, we thank you. Father, we're here to pray for the lost. And Father, we're going to begin right there. Father, we believe your word says to ask you for the heathen for our inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for our possession. And Father, we want every unbelieving, backslidden soul that is in this city, that is in this region, that is in this community, that it's in this county. Father, we claim them for the kingdom of God. Father, we thank you, Lord God. And we just say this, the walls of this room will not be enough to contain. And so, Father, we say to the walls of this room that you stretch out, you stretch forth your cords, lengthen your cords, increase the size of the tent. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Glory to God. Father, we hunger and desire souls to be won. Father, we're here to contend for every lost soul in this city. Father, we say that a desire comes upon them. Father, we thank you that laborers are upon their path. Father, they enter in through these doors. Father, their lives are saved, set free, restored, destinies overturned. Praise you, Father. Come on, everybody. Let's just praise him. Father, we praise you. We glorify you. Praise you, Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. We just praise you tonight. We magnify you, Lord God. You are so good. Father, we believe you for a harvest out of this land. Father, that, Lord, that signs and wonders would be done in the name of Jesus. Father, that you'd stretch forth your hand to heal, that healing would be a dinner bell for the gospel. Father, we thank you for it. Father, you work with us, confirming your word with signs following. Lord God, Father, we pray for the churches. And Father, we pray this for all the family churches, especially we, of course, are doing our due diligence with our churches. Father, we pray for the Jamestown Church. We pray for the Erie Church. Father, we pray that your glory would fill our services. Father, we desire it. Father, we desire revelation in your word. We're hungry for it. Father, we desire signs following. We're hungry for it. Father, we desire souls being saved in every service. We're hungry for it. Father, and we thank you. We know that there is a remnant of your people. Father, there are those that are hungry for the revelation of the word. And Father, we pray that they would come into the altar of God. Lord, we thank you for it. Father, we thank you for a praying church. We thank you for a powerful church, a church of revelation in the word, a church of manifestations of the Spirit. We thank you, Lord God. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Blessed is your name. Glory be to God. Father, this is our heart's desire. Father, this is your heart. This is your heart's desire as well. But Father, we know that this is our heart's desire to see your Spirit just invade our services. We thank you for it. We thank you for it. Father, we pray for the people, the individuals, the families that are represented in the Erie Church. Yes. Father, you said that we should lend our supply to one another. Yes. And so, Father, when we're here, we're going to pray for them. And when we're there, we'll pray for those that are here. And so, Father, we pray for each soul in the Erie Church tonight. Yes. Father, we thank you that they are filled with a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you. Father, that the eyes of their understanding, being enlightened, that they know the hope of your calling and what is the riches of the glory of the inheritance of the saints. Father, we thank you. We say that each one is led and directed of the Spirit. Father, we say that they are growing in the things of the Word. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that every need of theirs is met. Father, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, in their family, in their marriages, in their jobs, in their businesses. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. Father, we thank you, Lord God. Father, we thank you for the family churches. We pray for our brothers and sisters in these churches, Father. We thank you that more souls would be added. Father, that you would put in each and every one of our hearts that desire to lead souls to Christ. We praise you tonight. We praise you, Lord God. Lord, I'm going to speak now just concerning this city, the city of Jamestown specifically. Father, you know that for decades, the words that have been spoken about this city and how people have put it down. Lord, how people have said that this city is a tough place to minister. People have said what an economically depressed area this is. And how, Father, the different characterizations that people have made about how rejected this city is, how people have said nothing good can happen here, how people have said, you know, the people here aren't very good, and so on, and all the stuff that has been said about this town. And Father, that's exactly what they said, Lord Jesus, about your town. Lord, they said nothing good could come out of Nazareth. That nothing good would come out of Galilee. But Lord, you came out of there. And Lord, we thank you that when the world says it's rejected, Lord, when the world says that nothing good can happen there, Father, we say that that means it's a perfect place for you to demonstrate your power. And so, Father, we call upon you here tonight. Father, we've also heard those same things said about Erie, Pennsylvania. That, Lord, that it's a small town with big problems and you know, all the different things that have been said about it economically and spiritually. And, Father, we just say this. Whenever a place is called or considered rejected, we say it qualifies for you to demonstrate your power. So, Father, we call upon you tonight to demonstrate your power in the city of Jamestown. Father, to demonstrate your power in the city of Erie. Father, we thank you. And Lord, those people that are oppressed in poverty, oppressed in sadness, oppressed in depression and anxiety and fear and those that have nothing. Father, we just call them out of that life. Father, that they would run headlong right into the power of God. They would receive your word, Father, and we'd watch them get saved. We'd watch them get healed. We'd watch them get blessed. And Father, that they would be a delightsome land. That Father, that they would be the envy of the world. And that, Lord God, that you would just demonstrate the ultimate advertisement for the gospel upon the people of these cities. And so, Father, we thank you for it. Come on, everybody, if you believe it. Father, we just praise you. That is our heart's desire. Father, that is our heart's desire. Father, our heart's desire is to see 200 people in this room praying together every Wednesday night. And Father, we thank you. We believe it. We'll have it. And now, Lord God, as we've prayed in our known language, the best we know how, Father, we know that the Holy Ghost knows how to pray even better. So, Father, we just stand before you, or we may sit before you, or we may kneel before you, whatever we choose to do here tonight. Father, as we pray in other tongues, Lord, you said over there in 1 Corinthians 14:2, that he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks truths or hidden mysteries. And so, Father God, we're going to pray out your truth right now. The Holy Ghost is going to take hold of our desires. He's going to reveal to us, Father, your desires, your leadings. And, Lord, we'll be faithful to it. And so, Father, we thank you for the help of the Holy Ghost. But